To another episode of the Sim Racing Podcast. It's a special edition. Well, they're all special editions these days since most of the time we're doing League Podcast 9 o'clock tonight. You can tune back in and check us out doing Midwest Motorsports Podcast. And tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we'll be doing the Rolling Thunder Series Podcast. Got some guests that are always fun to have on. If you remember the 24 Beers of Daytona, they put another one up last month that we're going to be talking about very shortly. And you can watch this podcast live on twitch.tv/GregDreis right afterwards. Gets uploaded to YouTube. And then we take the audio out of the video, send it over to Spotify, where you can also catch it on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, TuneIn. And coming early in 2024, somehow they found us worthy to be on Sirius XM. Doesn't pay anything, but it certainly sounds good. So let's introduce tonight's guests. Bo Condon from RL Productions and Justin Clapper, Thunderclap Exhibition Series and Thunderclap iRacing Series. Gentlemen, good evening and welcome back.
How you doing there, sir? Thank you for having us back on the show.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Got a chance to talk to Justin before we went on the air, finishing up his season there and looking forward to 2024. But first, we're going to talk about La Corna Seca. Happens to be my favorite track. You did that on November 3rd, so tell me what that was all about, and I assume it had something along the lines of alcohol, like the 24 Beers of Daytona.
Yeah, so it was very similar to the 24 Beers of Daytona, but even wackier, honestly. Of course, we don't condone drinking and driving, but sim racing social driving. It's a lot of fun to get these groups together. We had five I think three continents and like 12 countries represented in total, or I think maybe it was five countries and I think 12 states. So it was an international event similar to the 24 Beers of Daytona.
Yeah.
So it was 3 hours around Laguna Seca with the Mazda MX-5s, the Volkswagen Beetle Lights, and the NASCAR Gen 4s.
Uh-huh.
And boy, was it a lot of fun.
And what were the drinking requirements for this race?
So each driver had to finish a total of 8 shots within essentially a 12-hour window. It was not as taxing as the 24 beers, but you know, when we're talking that high of an alcohol content, it was really up to guys to figure out how they wanted to consume. And there was a lot of strategy plays as to how they were going to consume those 8 shots. I know for myself, I decided to front load everything. So when it was officially noon Eastern and we were allowed to start drinking, I posted a video of me doing 6 of my 8 in essentially one sitting in this awesome relay of chutes and trash can, Irish trash can building that was a lot of fun, delicious, and let's just say I was ready to go by race time.
I hear you. So it was you said it was a 3-hour race, but over a 12-hour window. Explain that.
Yeah, so essentially we opened up the practice sessions at noon to continue to bring new drivers. The drivers that were going to be there to start hanging out, putting some laps down.
Yeah.
We do the same thing for the 24 Beers of Daytona. Basically start the drinking window early. That way we don't have guys literally trying to put themselves in a hospital, you know, trying to consume all of their beers or all of their liquor in such a severely short amount of time. The idea is to have a buzz, have a good time, but we don't want to hurt anybody. So that allows for everyone to kind of get going and drink at their own will, with the goal of getting, of course, their mandatory amount done. And usually everybody peaks their tipsiness right around that halfway point of the race, which makes it rather exciting.
Uh-huh. So I imagine there was a DWI checkpoint near the corkscrew. How many people wrecked on that when they were half buzzed or half in the bag?
Oh, you mean the ramp? That was essentially where guys were jumping at certain points in the race.
Okay.
You know, it actually was an incredibly clean race. Everyone had an absolute blast.
Cool.
It was a clean group of guys.
Yeah.
So there was no major issues. We didn't even have a single full course yellow. Of course, we could have had plenty.
Yeah.
But we had a great time. We Sean Bounty, one of our Thunderclap regulars, ran away with it. And the joke was he was one of the what we call designated racers. He was not drinking.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
That is something we allow in these events, but they have strict stipulations that they have to follow. So Sean started two laps down, was not allowed to qualify, and started at the end of the rear of the field at the halfway point. And he still won.
Ugh. So what prompted you to come up with that, this the La Corona race? Just something to do waiting for the 24 beers to kick in? Or
It came to mind the same way that the 24 beers did. I try to come up with the most ridiculous sentence I can say to a group of our buddies, and something sticks against the wall. And this was a case for Damian Neeson, who was the head admin for putting the La Corona Seca together, because I just one day we were in a conversation, and I said, fine, you'll get your La Corona Seca. And he's like, wait, are you serious? Can I have that? Is that a thing? And I was like, well, sure, it can be a thing. So that's kind of how that was born.
Awesome.
And Damien did a fantastic job of figuring out the power and fuel ratios for all three cars. He worked his butt off putting sessions together and getting guys to start testing. And really was just the champion of that event. He's taken that on as essentially his baby as far as the exhibition series goes, and we are so glad to have him do that and for him to take on that responsibility, and he killed it in his first ever exhibition event.
Cool. So there's a possibility sometime in the future we may see margaritas at Martinsville.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, boy. What have you started?
Now, Mazda's Margaritas Martinsville. Okay, here
we
go.
Well, it's better than one of those. There's another guy I know on iRacing that does silly endurance races, and one of them was 24 hours at Martinsville. If you could imagine something as monotonous as that.
Dear God.
Okay. Oh, so it sounds like fun. So your guy that set everything up, so they set up so that all three cars were kind of on the same level playing field?
Yeah, so basically I'm trying to remember. The cup cars were at 95% power with 50% fuel. The Beetles were at 100% power but 40% fuel. The Mazdas had 100% everything. And what that did was make the Beetles essentially have to pit every 5 to 6 laps. But the Beetles on that track have no track limits whatsoever. There's no effect for them going off course.
Okay.
So, you know, these things are Tokyo drifting around the whole course, making jumps and just having an absolute ball, but they had to pit a lot. So, it left areas for mistakes to happen. Our actual top five were a Gen 4, a Beetle, a Gen 4, then a Mazda and another Beetle. So it ended up being almost a complete perfect split of cars in that. So we did a fantastic job of getting all of those cars together and making them run very well. I personally was in a Gen 4, and I've never had so much fun driving that car because it had so much power going around that course. It was just spinning tires. I mean, I think never went into fourth gear, right? Like, this thing is just eating up the entire track. Did not belong there at all, but it showed out well and ended up taking the overall win.
Well, those Gen 4s and the 87s, they're just so incredible to drive. It kind of reminded me of, especially like the 87s at Michigan or something. It reminded me of hearing the story of the 16-year-old that just got his permit or his license, and he takes out his father's 1980-something Pontiac Bonneville and then realizes it's too big and doesn't know how to drive or stop. It's like driving a land yacht, somebody on the other podcast said the other night. So they are fun.
Absolutely.
So was there any prizes for this race, or just bragging rights and a precursor to things to come?
Yeah, so the La Corona Seca is the bragging rights event that's usually, if there is drinking involved, we're not handing out prizes. the drinking and social atmosphere of the event is kind of the reward. So for a lot of these exhibition events, if you see that it's the Case Cracker or the 24 Beers, the La Cornisega, those events will not have prizes attached to them, at least not right now. Maybe something we explore in the future. The other events that are considered competitive events and the charity events, those do have prizes attached to them.
Uh-huh. And there's a driver from the race here in the chat room. His screen name is Reltap. And he says, to be fair, the even split was more determined by the level of drunkenness of the driver. Ha, ha, ha. So that's his take on it.
Right. I believe that's Sean Boundy taking a listen, the overall winner.
Ah, which, okay.
Look, I'm going to say this. I was the first drunken Gen 4 to finish, so I'm going to pat myself on the back there. I had no business finishing fourth, but I did it.
Okay. Justin, did you drive in this race or have any part of it?
So unfortunately, I was unable to make this race. I was in Phoenix for the Truck Series finale.
Oh, okay.
But I did tune in, and it was so entertaining that I actually paid more attention to my phone watching this race go on than I did the actual race that was going on around me. I'm like, I'll hear whenever a caution comes out. I'll know when we're pitting. But I just had to tune in. And
that's funny.
The guys that filled in broadcasting for Grid Vision did a fantastic job of making it a little bit more edgy of a broadcast, with a bit of an uncensored broadcast. But for the adult audience, it made it absolutely hilarious to watch, highly enjoyable.
That's cool.
I mean, I was giggling like a little school kid watching it, really, really jealous of the guys that were out there. I wish I was home to participate.
All right, so you're going to do the 24 beers, correct, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from here on out, I'll be good to go for the rest of our exhibition series. So there shouldn't be any events that I'll be missing.
Okay. So let's move on to the main topic of tonight, which is the Turkey Trot at the Glen, which is a fundraising race for Barks, which is an animal rescue in Baltimore, as well as Feeding America. So you got to feed America to be able to feed the kitties and the doggies. So tell me about this race. I know it's coming up pretty quick. It's this weekend. So fill me in on all the details and how people get involved. So somebody checking this out later on, or I'm going to mention it on the Midwest Motorsports podcast later on as well. Give me the background of it and how to get involved.
Yes. So the Turkey Trot forever doing, it's a idea, you know, that NASCAR fans have always kind of talked about in either the bars or at work. You know, what if we did an IMSA style race where the Cup, Xfinity, and trucks all were on the track at the same time doing a multi-class event? Like, how would that work out? How awesome would it be? Would it be terrible? And really no one seems to have tried it yet, so I said, well, why not us? Of course it could be us that tries this thing. So there was the Turkey Trot at the Glen. You will have a 3-hour endurance race that sees the Cup, Xfinity, and trucks all racing in their respective class at the same time. Each driver will race their own car and has the opportunity to build out a team of cars in all three classes. So you'll have teams that will essentially try to sweep the event. There will be a mandatory caution at both the halfway point and 30 minutes to go mark to keep things interesting, but only 5 tire sets and 10 fast repairs to really make this 3-hour enduro just have to have that strategy point and really just have to keep clean.
Got it. And entry fees, and tell me where everything goes to and who's going to be broadcasting.
Yes. So basically, we came up with this platform that would make this a charity race. I, for the 24 beers last year, raised $1 for the American Kennel Club Epilepsy Research Foundation. That was in honor of our dog that we had lost in late January to idiopathic epilepsy. So kind of as a late addition to the 24 beers, we went ahead and made the 2 more for Trooper bonus. And with that, again, we were able to raise $700. So this is a way of doubling down on that and continuing in that interest by donating to both Barks and Feeding America. We're doing both because there are plenty of people locally that I have been raising funds with that Barks is near and dear to them. It's a shelter, a rescue shelter that takes on a lot of animals during this time of year. The holidays, people abandon their older animals for new pets. Newly adopted puppies are abandoned. Kittens and cats are abandoned when the quote unquote gift is no longer valued by their family or the animal doesn't work out. So this is a way to get all of those animals, cats, dogs, and other animals, some love during this season. But for the fact that this is going to be a national and international event, we wanted to bring in Feeding America as well, that helps feed families across the country, feed children across the country, so that we can touch a much broader spectrum of people and pets during this holiday season, and just try to, you know, we're not going to bring out earth-shattering numbers, but every dollar helps in these scenarios, so that's why we're doing this. And as far as entry fees, basically $15 per car / driver gets you into this event. Every driver then has an opportunity to then race in their respective class, whether it's Next Gen or Xfinity or trucks, for a $100 first place in that class. That $100 pot is assuming a 40-car field, which we're hoping that we have. We are more than halfway past that point now, so we're hoping this podcast will get us closer to that goal of a full 40-car field.
Actually, we can fit up to 60 right now is what our actual goal will be, which would be ideally, if we could do that, we'd be able to have a decent amount. I mean, if we can get 60 guys, you're looking at in each class, so that would be very impressive for us to have that many in each class. And I couldn't imagine what Watkins Glen would look like with 60 different vehicles out there whipping around, all racing for something different.
That's true. Fun.
Now, the three different classes, are they going to be like Licorna, all set up on the same level, or is it going to be more like an IMSA race where you're more racing against your class, and most likely the fastest car will be the overall winner?
Yeah, so, you know, that was something that Justin and I and the other Thunderclap admins discussed, whether we were going to change power and things like that. And we decided we're not for this first year because we do want it to play out like an IMSA race where the Cup cars are racing the Cup cars, the Xfinity and trucks, same thing. Because we think it'll be cool enough just to see them racing around each other. That this first year, let's just see how it plays out, leaving them all at 100%.
Yeah.
And being, you know, who knows, maybe an Xfinity car ends up doing really well just because it's it's working for that driver in that day. I just kind of want to see what happens with that. In the future, we may consider reducing power, but for right now, we want to see rung what you brung and put it down on the floor and see kind of what happens.
Got it.
So kind of want to add to that, what I've noticed from the few practice sessions that I've ran is a lot of guys, they talk about how they think, oh, I think a truck could be faster than an Xfinity car or an Xfinity car. Everybody always has a great debate on which vehicle is faster, which we so often see in real life where one of the three touring series could be faster that weekend at a specific track.
Sure.
Something I'm noticing in practice is there's a lot of these guys that are in trucks that are very, very fast in different sections of the racetrack. So, I mean, you got guys that are putting down high 114s, low 115s with Xfinity guys that are right there, or some guys that struggle. So I do think you're going to see a mixed bag in performance based on the vehicles. Even though you'll be racing your own class, I still think there's a chance that guys can finish higher than the other vehicles. I don't foresee all the next gen dominating like everybody thinks, because right now it seems like the next gens only have an advantage on the straightaways. It seems like the trucks really have an advantage in corner speed, but lose it on the straights, where the Xfinity car is kind of just a handful everywhere.
so right now,
it's super fun to watch the differences, and everybody's talking about different things, and it's literally three different races in one race, and I think it just brings so much for the broadcasters to talk about, for us to pay attention to. Having three separate fuel mileages for pit stops is going to be so cool to watch, just pretty much the three-hour chaos that's going to ensue on this Saturday night.
So then there's probably going to be pit stops and stuff going on just about continuously when
without a doubt. I mean, we're starting this event with five sets laying in the pits. I know just from the testing that I've done, I made it about 30 or so laps. So with that final stint is probably going to be your last pit stop in a truck. Mm-hmm. I would think the other two would be able to do the same thing. But tire wear, as we all know, is so key at a road course, and there's not going to be any cautions. There'll be admin control cautions only, except for the halfway points or that final stint. So unless there's some massive chaos that we deem necessary, it's admin controlled yellows only. So with that, you're going to have guys that are going to strategize. Do somebody try to save their tires towards the end? And come, or does guys try to short pit, take their tires, and run them back down in the beginning? So you're going to have such a mixed bag of what to do and different strategies, and with the three vehicles and different times. That's what I'm looking the most forward to this Saturday night.
Sounds like a blast. Are you going to be running the boot?
Nope, we're running the Cup format, so it'll be the NASCAR format. We wanted everybody familiar with it, the same format of what they run in real life with these vehicles. So we want to make it as comfortable as, since we already have this being a somewhat stressful event, we kind of wanted to make it as easy as we could on the guys to not make them uncomfortable and have and feel the need to over practice to be familiar with something new. We wanted to be someone everybody's familiar with when you tune in. You know, the average NASCAR fan could tune in to our broadcast live on Grid Vision Saturday night. And know exactly what layout they know, the real life situation of how that track is ran and fuel mileage and stuff like that. So we want to try to make it where they can kind of imagine if this was real life and what maybe one day NASCAR could do with the three series. You know, maybe this is something that could be possible. And I think, in my opinion, I think we're probably one of, if not the first to do this in a live broadcast. So really looking forward to that.
Okay. Oh, speaking of, changes and new things coming. Thought I heard somewhere on MRN, on Dave Moody's show, that there's talk or whispers of possibly going to timed races in the future, even on ovals. Have you heard that?
I have not. I know as someone who frequents the R&D Center, there's a lot of information going around. Some I can share, some I can't.
Sure.
That's not anything that I've heard come up in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
In an iRacing situation where you may have a lot of cautions, I know it's something that we're talking about doing in our Thunderclap iRacing series this year, where we may have a certain time limit, but realistic time limit. But that's for broadcast sake. That's the only reason I could ever see NASCAR going to that would be for a TV reason.
Okay.
But that being said, I think it's very hard to mandate that with red flags and weather delays and stuff like that. I guess they would stop the clock, but I feel like they've already gone so far from what made the sport what it is today that I know myself I would dislike that decision.
Got it. That kind of makes sense there. Yeah, it used to come up every once in a while in his show. I mean, even before he mentioned that he heard somebody who knew somebody, like you said, rumors. That, you know, someone called up and say, hey, what if they went to timed instead of pits? That would make it more strategy. He goes, no, they'd figure out that, you know, instead of lap 21, it would be 17 minutes and 30 seconds would be when we'd run out of fuel. Now, Watkins Glen is being the big amateur driver that I am, it's a very deceiving track. Is it really as hard as it should be, or is it just people take it too lightly because it doesn't look like, like pick another one, Laguna Seca or Road America?
I think it's hard because it doesn't look hard, right? I mean, its corners aren't like otherworldly. Like, you don't have the corkscrew like you have in Laguna Seca. The carousel's not that huge, right? There's not a lot of these things. There's no nine. You'll have at some of these like F1 and IndyCar courses or like the Rovals. But that's what makes it so terrifying, because it's like, oh, no, I'm good, I'm good. I locked him up a little bit, but I'm totally going to make turn one. And then all of a sudden, you don't know why you're airborne and you're, you know, 37 car lengths outside of the turn.
Right.
And you're trying to get your way back in there, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's just, I think it's what makes it not look hard that makes it really hard and is... it scares me, especially. I'm going to be driving a next gen, and sometimes you just go to the wrong gear when you've got that extra one, and it's like, oh, yep, I'm missing this corner.
Yep.
I think it looks so deceiving at this racetrack. I think it's just because it's a road course. Everybody has that mindset of outbreaking guys and stuff like that. But this place is so aero dependent, and you see it in real life after a while. It becomes very one groove and hitting your mark. Saving the tires.
Yeah.
It's a very drive-off racetrack where a place like Laguna or Sonoma or some of these other ones that are so heavy braking, this place, you know, is more of a focus on getting that drive off the corner and having the speed on the straightaways because of how aero this place can be.
Right.
And I think it becomes very, very unique in the way it's raced, definitely in the sim. I've noticed just in a few sessions, like you can almost sniff a little bit of draft down these straightaways. And I'm noticing some guys are running faster times because they might sniff a little draft down a back stretch or the front stretch going in a corner. But the same thing, like Bo says, then all of a sudden you enter the corner the same way you entered the lap before without that draft. And now you're 30 plus car lengths off the corner. So it's kind of finding the toughness of this racetrack, but in different ways than you would from any other road course.
Yeah, I had the chance, real lucky chance, a couple years ago at IMSA. My son and I, this is before he got into, you know, being a motorsports photographer. He was just kicking tires at the time. We went up to the 6 hours of the Glen, and I entered the WeatherTech contest. And, you know, we got to hang out at the WeatherTech hospitality tent all day. And we got, or I got a ride around the track, including the boot in the Toyota Supra, not the race car, the street version, but pretty souped up. So we left at the on the track at the beginning of pit road, and by turn one, and the driver was cool. He was narrating all the way. I'm laughing my head off because it was so exhilarating. And he's telling what the car's doing and how it's handling and what he's shifting and what he's going to try next. It was a great experience. Up to about 122 at turn one, and then up through the S's, and then the back stretch, I guess you call it, right before the chicane, we were at like 142 miles an hour, and then a second and a half later, down to 90 going through the chicane. And that was the wildest ride I've ever had. And it was so much fun to just be out there on, like I said, on a track like that's everybody's favorites. So let's get back to the race itself. Green flag is at 7 p.m., but looks like the events start at noon. Tell me about the 6.5-7 hours. What's going on before the green flag drops?
Yeah, so that's, you know, similar to a lot of the other events that we do. At noon, it's kind of like, okay, let's start the open host. These hosted practice sessions will not have a password.
Okay.
Anybody will be able to join that wants to run in on the fun. We will reach out to, if we're not full on entries, we will reach out to any drivers that come in and are curious about the event and are performing well in those practices. We'll reach out to them and see if they want to become a part of the event. Those sessions will run essentially all the way up to the official session that will open at 6. That'll have an hour-long practice. We'll finalize the entry list and make sure that everybody who has given a $15 entry is in the race. You'll start with then a 10-minute qualifying session at 6:50. The lineup is going to be decided by those speeds, and then the I believe the highest donor will get the pole. And that we had some at some points we were saying that, you know, we were going to do some different thing with donors and stuff like that.
Yep.
It ended up it was going to be really too complicated to give the to have the donors to the charity sweepstakes stuffle up during the halfway point and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it'll be the highest donor gets the pole. And essentially at that point, we are green flag at 7 p.m. for 3 hours straight.
Okay, and then halfway through the race, there's a mandatory yellow. That's just like to regroup and give the stragglers a chance to get back up to the front if they can?
Yep, exactly. So that's just, you know, kind of a competition yellow.
Okay.
Being that this is it's a competition race, but it's a race for charity. It's a broadcasted event. If we're getting really stretched out, I mean, we're going to throw the halfway point caution anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the event that we're really, really stretched out, it will give us an opportunity to bunch everybody back together. Okay. And we'll do the same thing with 30 minutes to go. Just because, again, we like being a league that embraces the excitement and kind of being like the WWE of iRacing and as far as leagues are concerned. So we have no problem doing a 30-minute shootout. So you know, you may have guys that had laps leads, you know, or multiple minutes ahead. Well, sorry, pal, 30 minutes, everybody's bunched back up. Prove that you're still the fastest.
There you go. Mention your broadcaster again and where the race can be seen Saturday night on what platforms.
So that'll be on Grid Vision TV. They will be streaming it on their YouTube channel. And Austin Derbyshire and his team with Tristan Prince and Brian Britt are going to kill it as they always do.
Cool. Just in case you're tuning in now or scrolling through YouTube or wherever you watch this podcast, this is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. We have Bo Condon from RL Productions and Justin Clapper from Thunderclap Exhibition Series, as well as Thunderclap iRacing Series, talking about the Turkey Trot at the Glen this Saturday night, charity for Feeding America and Barks. Now, one thing we didn't discuss yet, if someone's watching or listening right now and they want to get in on the race, where do they sign up? Is it under hosted? Is it under your league, or where's the details if I want to drive my car up to the pit wall on Saturday night?
So one of the easiest ways, and I actually just did this, if you go to Thunderclap's Facebook page, Thunderclap iRacing Series presented by TLC on Facebook, you can go on to our page, give us a like, and just posted is the Discord, the official Discord for the RL Productions Thunderclap Exhibition Series. And you can go in there, and all the information you need is in there. If you don't have Facebook, you can email thunderclapracing@gmail.com, and I'll reach out to you and get you all the information you need. Sign-ups, all the announcements, and everything is in that Discord for the Thunderclap Exhibition Series. So you check us out on Facebook to get that link. Otherwise, you can send an email to thunderclapracing@gmail.com.
And one thing I want to go over before we jump too far ahead, too, if you don't want to be a driver but somehow want to be involved, we've got a lot of people that are just going to tune into the broadcast to see where their donations have gone. We have the charity Turkey Trot at the Glen charity sweepstakes. This was a way for us to garnish donations from fans and friends and other individuals that are like our sponsors that are always supportive of our league but may not do any sim racing themselves. So basically, this is a charity sweepstakes where we're taking donations in exchange for entries. The winner will have their choice of one of three. These three prizes include a $500 voucher to RL Productions Video Services that can be used for a video marketing service for a commercial business, an event, or even a wedding. We also have a $150 voucher to the Rusty Wallace Racing Experience.
Awesome.
Or a $150 voucher to Omaha Steaks. So the winner will get to choose their prize from those three options. And it's $10 for 10 entries. And the amount of entries you receive grows exponentially the more you donate. Right now, we are sitting at just under $500.
Awesome.
Our goal is to raise $1,000. That will be shared among the two charities, both Barks and Feeding America. Want to make a note that we at RL Productions and at Two More for Trooper and at the Thunderclap iRacing Series and Exhibition Series will not be retaining any of the funds or charity. All of these funds for either the driver entries or the charity sweepstake are all going directly to the charities. The only money that is exchanging hands will be the prize money for the drivers in the race. That's the estimated $100 for first place in each of the three classes. All other money will be donated to Barks and Feeding America.
Excellent. So if I'm watching the race Saturday night and I just want to make a contribution, regardless of getting in the sweepstakes, where do I send my donation to?
Yes, so Event Groove Fundraising, you can go onto their website. Again, that's Event Groove, EventGroove, and you can search the Turkey Trot at the Glen Charity Sweepstakes. It will work if you search Two More for Trooper. It will work if you search Turkey Trot at the Glen. But essentially, you'll see our logo there with Watkins Glen in the background. And from there, you will be able to sign up for that charity. You can also find the link on rlproductions.com. You can find the link on our Thunderclap Facebook page, as well as in the Discord for the league.
Excellent. Definitely a wonderful organization that you're raising money for, and it sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. So let's talk about your iRacing series, and who is TLC, your sponsor?
So TLC Incorporated is owned by Bob Carr. He is a local client of RL Productions. Basically, he is an old school racing fan that one day I was just kind of talking to him about what Justin and I and the other admins were putting on. And I was like, so we're at the point now where we're looking to have title sponsors and premier sponsors that we broadcast and advertise throughout the season. Is that something you'd be interested in? He's like, yeah, just here's a check, just whatever you want. Like,
oh, that's
he
great.
Was very enthusiastic about
good for him.
Hearing his company name on these broadcasts.
Yep.
So, you know, it's now we've got essentially four companies that are represented in our races at all times. But you always hear the TLC, Bob Carr ad readouts by our broadcast team at Grid Vision. You'll see the Eagle Woods Creations caution flag, the RL Productions one to go. I mean, we've got a great group of sponsors around us.
Super.
And TLC is our premier sponsor. Bob Carr does a lot for this league, and we're happy to have him.
All right. And what cars do you run? Is it fixed or set? And how long is your season? And when does it start if it didn't? And what race are you on if you did already start?
So we are starting the 2024 season in February. We will be doing recruitment races all throughout this winter for new drivers to have the opportunity to join. But we will start with the Daytona Duels Night in February. I believe the start date is February 28th. I'm actually looking right now. I actually think the date is the... Is it before then? Where did it go? There it is. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, Daytona qualifying night is actually the 21st of February. That is where we get all the drivers together and we do single car qualifying and then end with two dual event heat races, essentially, to set the field for the Daytona 250 that takes place on February 28th. This season, much like last season, we'll have both or all three series, Next Gen, Xfinity, and trucks represented throughout the season in a rotation format at tracks for a total of 26 weeks. And Clapper, if you want to chime in too, we're talking the 2024 schedule and kind of what we have that what we're going to show off this season with some of the new tracks and new concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the schedule up here. The 2024 schedule is actually pretty neat this year. We get started a little bit sooner than normal. Last few years we started in the month of March. We're actually going to start right around the time NASCAR gets kicking. So February 21st will begin our qualifying day and duels at Daytona, where we're kind of doing a unique thing this year where we'll have a point system where the top 26 from last year will be locked in for the first five races of the season. Then we'll jump into the point system for the 2024 season for that lock-in. 14 guys will have to race their way in on speed. 10 of them are going to lock in on speed, sorry, and then four will battle it out in the duels for those remaining four spots. So that'll be a fantastic broadcast. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to. But some of the changes for this year, we bring in Circuit of the Americas back in week four on March the 20th. You're looking at our throwback race in, it looks like, April the 10th will be at Old Texas in the Gen 4. So something we started last year of not only doing a throwback race, but doing a throwback track with a throwback vehicle, throwing it all back. So one of the cool, unique things you get to do on iRacing, we'll be running Iowa this year. And we're also going to run the Chicago Street Course for the first time. And our championship race will be at Auto Club, finishing the year out on September the 11th. But unlike years past where we kind of throw some crazy stuff in our schedule, we decided to kind of keep things pretty close to the NASCAR schedule. Mm-hmm. So majority of our season is ran the same track that the actual NASCAR Touring Series will be running with either that week before or that week or close to. We try to do our best as we only have a 27-week season in total. But we go off with 16 races without a week off. So once we get going February 21st, it's to the moon to the playoffs. And then we have an off week. And then the only off week after that is before the Lightning Four round at Auto Club on September the 11th. So a lot going on this year, and it's going to be a fun season, fast paced, but that's what we like about it.
And finally, the 2024 Beers of Daytona. When is that going to happen, and when do you start advertising for that?
Yeah, so that's going to be on February 3rd and 4th this year. The week before, you'll be able, all drivers will be able to join the Pour Before the 24, which is a lot like the Roar Before the 24, where we will have all three of the classes that will be racing in the 24 beers get together for a short endurance race on that Saturday. The following week, February 3rd and 4th, is when the official 24 beers will be. And this year, we're introducing a new car shakeup once again. So the GTP cars will be replacing the LMP2s in our final stint. So we'll start with the GTE class. We will then have, for 3 hours, we will then have a break, another 3 hour stint for the next gens that will take us to midnight. And then we will start again in the early morning on Sunday with the GTP class for 6 straight hours.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to keep with that mixture of drinking beers and having a good time and being competitive. It's our premier event in the exhibition series. It's right now, it's looking like we're going to continue to where we're touching at least three continents.
We're
going to have at least 12 countries represented, guys from all over the globe jumping into this thing and having an absolute ball doing it.
Oh, that's incredible. I watched part of it last year on the replay, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. Well, guys, once again, great information. Great talking with you guys again. Bo Condon and Justin Clapper, Thunderclap iRacing Series, talking about Turkey Trot at the Glen. Great fundraiser for Barks, which is an animal rescue and care organization in Baltimore. And then, of course, Feeding America, because you got to be able to feed the people to feed the puppies. Guys, thanks a lot. I'll be checking back in with you and see how everything's going. And I'm definitely going to be promoting this for the rest of the week. Over 2,000 people saw the promos this week alone. So hopefully we can get you some more drivers and help fill out that donation jar for you. So thanks again, and once again, for coming on, and have yourselves a good night.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. One last note for any drivers out there looking to become a part of this event. Again, please join that Discord, but then hang out with us after the Turkey Trot too, because we've got the Snowball Beer Brawl on December 16th at Five Flags with the Cars Tour vehicles. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
We've also got the New Year's Resolution Eliminator Race on January 5th. That's going to be at Martinsville with the Gen 6, six cars. So that all leading up, of course, to the 24 beers. So it's a full schedule of an event basically every month for this exhibition series that we can't wait to see all of you join. And we really thank you, Greg, for allowing us onto your podcast.
Anytime.
And knocking this thing out. It's always a pleasure joining, and we really thank you for your time.
You're more than welcome. So Turkey Trot at the Glen, which is this Saturday, November 18th, doors open at 12, and green flag is at 7 p.m., I believe. The whole thing is right there on, there we go. Practice session opens at noon, and green flag at 7 p.m., 3-hour session, all three classes on track. Halfway through, there's a full course yellow, mandatory pit stop to regroup, 30-minute shootout to end the race. We're also giving some prizes there. For drivers, it's $15 per driver to get in. And if you are the top donor, that gets you up near the pole at the beginning. All three classes, if the race is full, we'll get $100 first class for next gen, $100 for first place Xfinity, and $100 for first place in trucks. Now, if you just want to donate, you're more than welcome to do that by searching out Thunderclap Exhibition or the Turkey Trot at the Glen. You can do any fundraising yourself or making donations. Just look up Event Groove online and search the page there. That's the Turkey Trot at the Glen this Saturday, raising money for Barks and Feeding America. And you can participate by driving and take a chance of winning $100, $15 per driver to get in. Or you can enter the sweepstakes for great prizes, anywhere from $100 worth of Omaha steaks, $150 towards Rusty Wallace Racing Experience, or $500 voucher for RL Productions. And that's just $10 for that. Gets you 10 chances. This has been the Sim Racing Podcast, special edition about the Turkey Trot at the Glen. And again, that's this Saturday, November 18th at 12 p.m., raising money for Barks and Feed America. The Sim Racing Podcast is available on Twitch, Spotify, YouTube, and all the major podcast platforms. It will be uploaded immediately when we get done here to YouTube, and then later on to Spotify, where you can catch the audio version. Thanks for listening. I'm Greg Dreis for the Sim Racing Podcast. If you like the podcast, tune back in at 9 p.m. tonight when we do our weekly league podcast for Midwest Motorsports. Until then, we'll see you on the track. Have a great Thanksgiving and good night.